Happy Tuesday. It's 7 minutes past 10 o'clock. I'm Kara Lawrence, and this is Let's Hear It. Today, I have two guests in the studio who run one of the premier arts organizations in Kalamazoo. They say this season we are unbound by what we used to do and are open to new ideas of how things can be. I am talking about Corey Terry, the founder of Wellspring Corey Terry and Dancers, and executive director Kate Yancho. Corey and Kate, glad to have you back here at Classical WMUK.
Good morning, Kara. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, last time we spoke, which was not too long ago, I'm glad to say, we had sort of a catch-up on how the pandemic affected the company. I remember getting very indignant on behalf of your dancers because of the fact that they couldn't even touch during an entire season. And it's just so viscerally important to interact that way. And I'm really happy to see that there will be three full concerts coming up in a weekend just ahead, November 19, 20, and 21, in which the company will be back together. And I don't know much more, so that's where we're going to start today. You are having in-person concerts with an in-person company. I do see on the website, wellspringdance.org, that proof of vaccination is required, masking is required. Let's all be safe.
Yes,
here's
please.
Kate.
Let's be safe. We, you know, the Wellspring Theater is a beautifully intimate space, and we're thrilled to be back in that space, but it's also not very large. So we're going to do everything we can to keep everybody as safe as possible through it, but still be able to share this event with our audience that we've missed so dearly.
And the good news is that it is an incredibly well-ventilated theater. It's a huge, you know, 25-foot ceilings, and we've invested in some UV air filters for the space, and So we feel pretty good about it. I think it's going to work just fine as long as everybody complies.
Compliance, please. And our colleagues have used our theater, the Gilmore Festival used the theater for a Rising Stars performance with no issues. So it's some friends have tested the waters for us in our space, so.
Another thing we chatted about last time was the fact that, you know, in 40 years of presenting original dance, there's a chance that people today may not have seen some of the incredible pieces that were produced in seasons past. And I'm curious to know if you're reviving anything for this concert.
Well, we are, in fact. I mean, 40 years, you actually accumulate quite a large roster of repertory, and that's good because it's been a little bit of a slow reentry into working together. We haven't had a whole lot of time to create new work since the pandemic started. We have a few pieces that we have, choreographed, but what's been really amazing is being able to go through the archives and pick out pieces that we can recreate. This year, we are meeting, most of the company is meeting 5 days a week again, whereas last year, during the worst part of the pandemic, we were only meeting three times a week, which really limited our ability to choreograph. So we have picked a whole list of dances to present. And the fun thing about it is that they're all new dancers performing these works. And that gives it a whole different feeling, which is very exciting because they breathe so much new, fresh energy into the work. It's very, very gratifying. The bad news about COVID is that it has interfered with our plans. We had some sickness in the company, and so we had to quickly redirect the program, and we had to take out one piece entirely, and I had to re-choreograph another piece a little bit, but it works fine. So as of last week, through three marathon rehearsals, we completely reset a whole different piece than we were planning to do. So it's been exciting around Wellspring.
That's a word for it.
Yeah. But I'm very happy with the show. I think it's a great combination of work.
About how many pieces will you present in an evening?
There's 5 pieces on the show. We will have an intermission this year, and I will come out and talk a little bit. So the whole show lasts about an hour, which is pretty great. Even though it's not actually, in terms of length, the longest show, there's so much dancing in it that I don't think anyone will feel deprived in any way. It's like very active, lots of dance to see. And we're starting the show with Marissa Bienen's new piece that she choreographed. And it's to the music of Red Sea Pedestrians. We have 2 pieces that are both to the Red Sea Pedestrians, 2 very different pieces. And Marissa's is new, and it's a quartet, and it's so fun and exciting to see. We are having Andrew Niedbala do his solo again that we did in the spring, which was an outdoor performance, and now we're going to have theatrical lights to showcase. He's beautiful. It's really, really a moving solo. And then the piece that we had to take out was one that we were very excited about. We will do it in the spring. And that was a duet from 1992 that I choreographed. And we were talking about it as really kind of the foundation of what we have built on through these years. So that piece, which was called Infolding, you'll have to wait till the spring to see it because we couldn't do it again. So we replaced it with a piece called Desideratum, which is a quartet for women. It's got these amazing dresses that get manipulated throughout the piece, and it's absolutely beautiful. It is to the music of Philip Glass. So oh, wow. It's a very fun piece. We have a trio that we redid called Femesthesia. I forget what year that was. It was like maybe 2013 or something.
That sounds right.
And then we end the show with the rousing group piece, which is a longer piece by the Red Sea Pedestrians called Old World New.
Okay. So some of us will know the music, actually.
Yes.
If you've been able to see the wonderful group Red Sea Pedestrians out and about. And I love how I'm understanding when you say quartet or trio or group. I'm like, that I know exactly what that means because in classical music it's kind of the same idea.
Yes.
So when you bring a piece back, are you allowed to fiddle with it, and or is it
sacred in some way?
Right.
I know that is an interesting question, and there's no law out there. No one's gonna come down with a hammer if you change something, but there is this way that you do want to respect the original intention, and I try to do that, but sometimes I just can't help but say, you know what, just look up at that moment, even though when I first choreographed it, everybody was looking down. Little details like that, that make a difference in telling the story of the piece. So I try not to fiddle too much unless it's really, really bothering me or crucial to the piece. So, and the dancers are very, very respectful of the original intent. It's been amazing to watch them embody this work that is a lot. Some of them choreographed before they were even out of diapers.
Born, I think. So,
if you've just tuned in, I'm speaking with Corey Terry, founder of Wellspring Corey Terry and Dancers, and executive director Kate Yancho. And we should remind listeners again when this concert is. It's at Wellspring Theater in the Epic Center. And tell us more, Kate.
Yeah, it's next weekend, November 19th, 20th, and 21st. We'll have 8 p.m. shows on Friday and Saturday and a 2 p.m. matinee on Sunday. Like we said, back in the Wellspring Theater in person, proof of vaccination is required as well as masks. So we're keeping everyone as safe as possible, but just so excited to welcome people back into the space.
I love the word unbound. Where did that come from? Was that a discussion word that seemed to resonate?
It's the usual where Kate emails me and says, we have to have a title. Think of something fast.
And then she'll send a list of some things. And
that are just, you know, usually I think of things, titles for dances and for the concerts when I'm walking my dog.
Yeah.
Because it's a good time to let your mind wander. And it just came to me. I don't know where it came from. I honestly don't. Well, deep in the recesses of my brain, that's all I can tell you.
The word kind of fits with the year of everything falling apart.
Yeah, right.
The unbound in that sense. But, you know, when you regroup,
yes,
you realize it doesn't. We don't have to recreate the past exactly as it was.
Yeah, and so. Maybe that, I mean, we definitely have had those discussions about what we are going to be, not what we have been, but where we're going and what we're going to be. So maybe that word just kind of bubbled up because mm-hmm. of those discussions.
I've always loved talking about the professional aspect of this dance company. 5 days a week, the act of working together creates cohesion with the company so that the trust is built up and there's literal danger at times
yes.
in choreography and creating dances.
Yes.
So that aspect of it puts it in a category that's, you know, that's it's the same as any other professional ensemble, paid, expected to be there, expected to dance at a level that, you know, matches any city's modern dance company. And it does.
Well, thank you. We try really hard.
Have people come up to you, people who love dance, and just said, I needed that. I needed to see this. I'm so glad it's back.
Yes. I mean, that is the payoff right there. people really do appreciate what we do. And, you know, a lot in our profession, there's a thing that people say is that you're doing it for one person, the one person that's going to really love it all, because there's going to be a whole lot of people that won't quote-unquote get it, especially with something like modern dance, which is pretty abstract. But for the one person that just comes up to you after a show and says, thank you so much for bringing this to Kalamazoo, that makes it all worth it right there. And a lot of people do say, you know, just because it's such a physical activity, and which you mentioned, people working together physically with their bodies and touching each other, that connection is just, it just really important culturally. And so some people really appreciate it a lot.
Kate, are there different levels of observing modern dance? I mean, from shapes to, like, literally empathizing with the bodies. Like, how do you look at it?
Well, piece of dance? You know, I do have a background in modern dance as well. So I come into it with that education and that experience. But it is, you know, you can appreciate the athleticism of it. Maybe that's what you connect with, and the body's working so hard. You can appreciate the artistry that goes into what went behind creating these pieces. You can appreciate what Corey was just speaking. You know, I think there are a lot of things that you can take away, and maybe you take away something different from each piece. Each piece might connect with you in a different way. The storytelling, the emotion, mm-hmm. all of the different elements that go into every performance, and the theatrics, the lights, and how the environment changes around you when you're in the theater, which, I mean, we experienced something very different in the spring when we were at the Nature Center and had moments of that just in this lush green space, and how that changed the experience for people. So it's different for everybody, and it might be different every time. I get to watch rehearsal often, and I take different things away each time I watch it. So
it's melded with music too. So
right.
If the dance enhances parts of the music I wasn't aware of, that would always trigger something for me, some admiration, certainly.
Well, in thinking about how we hear and experience things differently, like that, you know, maybe Corey heard something different in the music than you heard when you listened to it the first time, and now that you've seen her interpretation of that,
right.
Oh, gosh, I didn't even notice that bass line or whatever. So, yeah, it's a very personal experience, I think, for everybody involved.
I usually sneak in a dance 101 question because I'm still learning these things. In the past, we've talked about how choreography is not notated in any standardized way, which is one of the challenges, I think, in dance and historic dance, I would think. Today, I was just thinking about how, people go to, say, the ballet, and it goes on for 2-3 hours, but people aren't dancing for 2-3 hours straight. What is I realize ballets are broken down into much, much smaller segments. How long can someone dance?
Before dropping?
That's my basic question.
Well, there's no actual answer to that because it's up to the individual or the individual company. And I think stamina is always an issue for companies. The piece that I mentioned, Desideratum, that we just finished learning, is the dancers are pretty much laying on the floor just gasping for breath at the end of the piece. And that piece is only about 9.5 minutes long. So it just depends on the piece itself. That there's no entrances or exits. There's no stopping in that dance. And it's very, very athletic. And so stamina is the big thing that dancers have to build up in order to do it. So it's not like a matter of time as much as it is what is the work asking you to do. And sometimes it's very, very, very challenging. And I keep saying to them, I really think it would be fun to, because they end on the floor. And in rehearsal, they all just roll over to their backs and just you can just see their chests heaving up and down. They can't even stand up for a few seconds at least. And I always thought, and I said to them, I think I'm just going to bring the lights up on while you're laying there gasping for breath, just so the audience knows what hard work that was.
That sounds like a vulnerable moment, though.
What?
It sounds like a vulnerable moment, though.
Well, I mean, it's after you run a race, what are the runners do? And they all bend over and just try to fill their lungs. So it's kind of the same thing with dance. It's just, I don't know that there's people have done 30-minute solos where they never stop, and it's amazing. And that's the one thing people will comment on is that, I mean, I don't even know about the choreography, but the stamina that it took to do that solo. So that's part of the whole thing.
Well, and I think, too, recognizing that there are 6 company members at Wellspring. There are 6 dancers that are presenting that whole performance. It's not often that, in other companies, there might be twice as many dancers. And so not every dancer is involved in every piece. And that's certainly the case. We have quartets and trios and solos. But still, with how compacted the performances are, those dancers are pretty much either on stage or backstage preparing for the next thing. You're not seeing, all these other casts coming in and out. So that definitely changes the experience when we're working with these 6 amazing artists.
When I think of stamina, I pretty much think of jogging or running, which is you can just end up doing longer and longer and longer and building stamina. But I've also experienced balancing myself the wrong way, and suddenly a muscle I wasn't aware of just went twing. Mm-hmm. Building stamina in dance. What are some of your principles there? It's not working. I'm assuming it's not doing the same thing every day for a longer period of time, or is it?
Well, the big thing that dancers have to do in order to develop stamina is the discipline of taking class. That is the most important thing, and that's where you learn how to do movement correctly and efficiently so that you're not overdoing one muscle group and really learning how to balance what you're doing. It's class. And we have class every day. So, and when you perfect the craft and the technique of dance, then you can throw yourself into a piece and do it over and over again. And so it's kind of a little both of that, because the reason that we run through the whole show as many times as possible before the actual show, which we just started yesterday.
For next weekend's
performances. But we'll have a chance to do it many, many times, the whole show in order.
Yes.
Is for exactly for that reason. It's and all the dancers say, we got to do it for stamina. So they'll know what it feels like to go from one piece to the next. And it just takes practice. It's a disciplined art form.
The concerts are November 19th and 20th, next Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m., and Sunday, a matinee at 2 p.m. on the 21st. Full details, including your COVID protections, are at wellspringdance.org. I'm speaking with Corey Terry and Kate Yancho, and thank you very much for, you know, filling me in on this behind the scenes. We're getting a lot of understanding into what we'll go into the three performances next weekend, which will be fantastic if everything, you know, if both audience and company are able to simply follow some basic safety precautions. And I was at a concert on Saturday with probably 800 or 900 people in a big auditorium. Everyone was masked. And guess what? I forgot I was wearing it after about 2 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. It was great, great time. It's so wonderful to be back with a live crowd and a big orchestra concert.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's amazing to be able to be back. I'm so looking forward to that. Speaking of masks, by the way, we have a plan for our dancers to be able to unmask while they're performing. They'll, of course, be putting their masks on in between if they can. But we're going to be doing testing every day so that starting with dress rehearsal, they'll be able to take their masks off, which is pretty amazing because we have a couple of new dancers and I have never seen their faces. Honestly, in except for the moment where they have to take the mask off, at least one side of it, to drink water. And then I'll be like, oh, wow, that's what that person looks like. We've been masked for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's pretty exciting to actually see faces and personalities come through because it's different. But, you know, we wear our masks religiously for class and up until this week for rehearsals. But we're going to be hoping that we can feel comfortable with negative tests and take the masks off. So the audience will be in their masks, but while they are on the stage, they will have their masks off.
Now, before we go, I want to spend a little time on the aspects of the presentation that include lighting, and you mentioned really unusual uses of clothing and color. We've already talked about the music. That's Red Sea Pedestrians, Philip Glass, other composers. So let's talk about the look of the show and who's responsible for what. I'm sure you have to have a professional person behind the lighting design.
Yeah. Our lighting designer and technician is Sam Snow, who has been working with us for 2 years now, I think.
Two and a half, maybe.
Two and a half.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
We love Sam.
We haven't... Tech rehearsal is next week, so we haven't set all the lights and the look of the show yet. But it's the Wellspring Theater. It's going to be gorgeous. We have really... You know, it's just beautiful, state-of-the-art lighting equipment up there.
Do you get colors in mind quickly when you're thinking of new pieces? Like, do you see it in blue or see it in a color?
Sometimes yes, but it's more about mood. So it's not really so much about, I mean, you use color to create a certain mood. And in the tech world and the lighting world, you use words like, do you want it warm or do you want it cool? And then you go from there with filling in all the details. So, you know, some things are very shadowy and dramatic, and you want side lighting that is not, you know, you're not lit from overhead, but you see all the shadows of the musculature of the bodies, and sometimes you want it bright and sunny and at daylight. So that's the fun I get to do at tech rehearsal.
Well, and how the lights play with the costumes, too.
Yes.
You know, there are some vibrantly colored costumes in this performance, so that that may direct some decisions on the color choices of lights, because you don't want it to be clashing or, you know, creating these where the dresses for Desideratum are beautiful, and you know, the light can really play on those in different ways. So it's continues to be a collaboration. If we have one theme, it's everybody has to collaborate in many, many ways. So
there is always that funny story of Fred Astaire, you know, getting feathers up his nose with Ginger Rogers in one of those movies. And
yes.
She never had a feathered dress subsequently.
So, well, we don't do a lot of feathers in the Wellspring Theater.
There is a little bit of sparkly stuff going on with the Desideratum dresses.
Yeah, but I'm sure. I mean, there's a lot of considerations, though, with costuming and,
yeah,
and dressing.
Yes.
It can't be too stiff either, I would think.
No. Yeah. In fact, they have to be quite elastic.
Well, is there anything else you can tell us about the fall concert of dance coming up next week?
Just that we're really excited about our partnership with the Community Box Office. This is our first time working with the Community Box Office for our ticket sales. We've been managing them in-house for many years, and we've moved over with this partnership with the Arts Council of Greater Kalamazoo. So you can walk into the Epic Center Monday through Friday from 10 to 6 and buy your tickets right there in the lobby while you're buying your tickets for Gilmore or Fontana or any of the other partners with the Community Box Office. So that's great for us, because we did not have that ability, that capacity to do walk-in sales like that before. And just the level of support, the web components, you can go on our website, wellspringdance.org, and click Get Tickets, and it'll take you through a whole experience on their website, which is more sophisticated than what we had been able to do when we were managing it in-house. So we're really grateful for that partnership. And please get your tickets ahead of time. That's really important this time around, as we prepare and plan to meet this audience and be able to get everybody in safely and keep everybody as safe as possible.
Corey, all the best with tech rehearsals next week.
You.
Your six dancers getting primed for this concert series on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next week, the 19th, 20th, 21st. Should be absolutely wonderful. I hope you enjoy coming back to the theater and with a crowd of folks who love what you do.
I think there's going to be a lot of emotion in that space.
Yeah, I think so too.
A lot of feelings.
Thank you.
This
Thank
piece
you,
is called Rounds for Orchestra, Rounds for Strings, String Orchestra. David Diamond, it's got some really, really rhythmic things going on. Made me think of Wellspring.